You're listening to the New Old Heads podcast, shot live every Tuesday at twitch.tv/newoldheads and released every Thursday at noon via bringingdowntheband.com. The show is brought to you by Coleman Dental, Printfinity, Indie CD and Vinyl. Support the show directly by becoming a member at patreon.com/newoldheads.
You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7th. The whole crew is here. Even my boy Red August is back in the building. Good to see you, brother. Jay Moore. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Rested, moisturized, you know what I'm saying? Ready to, I'm ready to pod, son.
That boy said moisturized.
Yeah, man. You got, come on. As you move up in age, you have to take care of your skin. And
you get ashy faster.
With the changing temperatures and whatnot. True. You got to do the right thing.
Yeah, my allergies are trash with this weather change. I'm out struggling.
Yeah.
I'm bad.
It happens.
Oh, man, longevity, hat loan. How are you, sir?
Good, man.
I'm getting used to hat loan.
Wearing a hat, got the minoxidil on my beard, doing all that stuff.
Minoxidil.
I actually did buy some. It was $20.
What is minoxidil?
Isn't that what it's called? The hair stuff? The hair grower stuff?
No, that's called, what is that called?
I don't know.
I'm not hip.
I got that stuff on my
hair. Oh, okay. He's like, yeah. I have no idea. I don't have need for such things.
Hold on. Let me look it up real quick. I think it's minoxidil.
I've grown my hair out. I don't need it.
Let's make sure.
Minoxidil hair regrowth treatment.
Okay.
So I bought this specifically. I don't even know where I saw that, but it was like for your beard. I was like, I need my beard to connect right here. So I bought this thing. It was like $20 and it's got like minoxidil in it, which is the same stuff you put in your hair, and caffeine and biotin and stuff. And I was like, it had good reviews, and I was like, well, it's $20. And I was already buying stuff from Amazon. And I was like, all right,
let's
cool.
Go.
Amazon.
I put it on for about 2 months now. Ain't done a nan thing. But it was $20. So I was like, I might as well try it.
Amazon to get you, man.
I don't really care that much, but I was like, well, maybe this will grow.
Well, the ratings, you have to be careful with the ratings because it's my belief that sometimes people come in and they have people pay people to
maybe
do reviews. So I always take it with a grain of salt. But my man DJ J Diff, what's happening, man?
Salutations.
How's everything, man?
Everything is everything, you know?
Yeah, you wouldn't need any of those products, would you?
Nah, I'm doing okay in the hair follicle realm of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
Yeah, I'm happy for you. Let me read this tweet, man, and kind of dive in and see what y'all think. So hip hop is fueled by Republican views and principles, the right to bear arms, freedom of speech, small government, and capitalism. Money outside the tax code. We do for us. We don't need y'all. We'll go to war over street politics. Hip hop is Republican, and so am I.
Who said this?
It's just a tweet. It was put in our topic suggestions.
His name is Nick Preach.
Yeah, so Nick was preaching. Was Nick preaching on that comment? What you think, Long, about that?
He's not one entirely wrong.
Okay. He might be on to something a little bit.
Man, there's a lot to unpack with the statement. Yeah. I mean, the right to bear arms, freedom of speech, small government, capitalism. Especially I think of the shift that happens when hip hop became super commercial in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a lot of Republican conservative viewpoints out of a lot of those rappers. So, I mean, that's my initial thought.
Okay.
But is hip hop Republican? I don't feel like it is derived from that.
Okay. I don't think it is politically. I think it is from an idealistic point of view, because you got to put it in perspective that there's people who never had anything and they see people who are driving nice cars, have Rolexes on their arms, jewelry, have a nice looking girl, nice cars, and they all were Republican, essentially. I mean, how many times has Donald Trump been shouted out in a rap song?
No, that's a good point.
Up to now. But until he took presidency, you know what I'm saying?
But I'm also going to say, this statement, the right to bear arms. Yeah, okay. But so the part of the problem I have with this framing is it's framing Republican as opposed to conservative.
Exactly.
And so because Republicans and Democrats realistically believe this same thing, the right to bear arms, there are a lot of Democrats that want that. Freedom of speech, who doesn't want freedom of speech?
Right.
Small government is more of a Republican conservative idea. Capitalism is definitely both Democrat and Republican.
Right.
And money outside of the tax code.
Don't nobody want to pay taxes.
If you're going to say it's Republican views, this is where I feel the nuance is. I'm trying to decide, is this person really hip to saying Republican, or
is it more about that?
Does he mean Republican, or is he confusing the two ideas? And so I don't know. So I mean, I feel like there's an argument for this in some circles, but at the same time,
I mean, it's a lot, man.
I feel like there's a lot of like leftist values in hip hop too. So
I mean, a lot of it is kind of Robin Hood-ish too. That's in a sense.
Yeah.
So that's definitely not Republican views, because if I'm trying to earn revenue to take care of my people and my neighborhood, essentially, that's not a Republican view. That technically that's a Democratic point of view, because you want to take care of these groups of people versus you being the only one that has it like that.
It's like, you know, that, and that idea goes towards like taxes,
right,
and redistributing wealth,
right,
right, into the community, which is not Republican.
Not at all.
Conservative viewpoints is pretty much trickle down economics. You know, I'll take all the money, and eventually that money will come down, which isn't a thing. But
or even building, having enough money to build up the hood and open different places and provide resources for them in order to make money too. So
yeah, I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's socialism, but there's some socialist idea, you know, you can
kind of,
you can make some little Marxist
politically
little,
is definitely not, in my personal opinion, Republican.
All
the rappers coming up hated Ronald Reagan in the 80s.
Yeah. True. Because of what he did to the community.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I feel like this is the reason why I think this is nuanced, is because if it's like the I don't know, there's just lots of nuance in here. So
what you think, Jay? Jump in.
Well, you know, I am what you consider a financial fiscal conservative.
Okay.
But, you know, when I actually spoke about this with someone who else was like, oh, so we agree. And I said, yes, I'm a fiscal conservative. I think there should be definitely a freeze on military spending. And we have to stop writing blank checks to the police in major metropolitan areas. And he's like, whoa, I wasn't talking about that. See, you know, but I'm talking about actual fiscal conservatism. You know, when they talk about it, they're like, well, we need to get rid of PBS and the library can only be open on the weekend.
I don't think that makes you fiscally conservative, though.
I mean,
why not?
Because
I see where the lion's share of the money that we pay into our taxes is going. And I was like, well, if we really want to get past if we really care about this deficit like we say we do, and if we really want to rein in spending, we need to start at the Pentagon, which has failed its last five audits.
But Long, go into why you.
But, you know, then it becomes something else.
Well, because, I mean, that was going to be my next question to Jay. I was like, well, are you against like redistributing the military funds to PBS and to healthcare?
Well, see, this is the thing.
Why you
and that's just it, because the problem people have with paying taxes is they don't see anything from it.
Right.
Like when the people who pay higher rates of taxes in other countries, it seems oppressive. But then wait a minute, they get free healthcare. They get a top-notch education.
They can take 2 months off a year.
When you know, mother has a child, she can stay home,
right,
or half a year or something. Yeah.
And so when we see what they get for their taxes, at least this is how I view it, and I see what we get, where you know the road that the mayor lives on still has potholes in it, you know, then I have a problem with it. But you know, and also my whole thing about maintaining the economic structure of the United States is we need to go ahead and decriminalize marijuana. And that doesn't come off as conservative to some people, but I'm like, do you realize that's billions of dollars that we are not putting through our banks in the United States of America?
People own portions of the cannabis business.
Exactly. True. And
I don't think that's conservative, though.
Exactly. But I'm thinking about as much from the socialist side of the fact that we can no longer criminalize cannabis and throw people into jail for this.
Mm-hmm.
But because that's a waste of money.
Right.
But it's also a bad look, because here it is. It's all this money that is not, our banks are having a hard enough time as it is. And for right now we have, and because it just got cleared for this was just crazy. You know, recreational in Missouri.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you know, in large places, Chicago, New York, California, Denver, none of billions of dollars not going through any banks.
Mm.
Yeah. So you can see, once again, we talk about nuance,
right?
When we talk about finance being an actual financial conservative, if you will. You know, and but also I'm one of those people when I hear Beto O'Rourke talk about how, you know, he wants to ban all, you know, assault rifles. I'm like, I can't get down with that either, because if the only people who can have guns are the police and the military, I'm sorry. No, I realize. But at the same time, I also realize when people say, oh, it's about mental health. Well, then we need to fund mental health with some of that money.
But again, to your point, I would argue that you're not talking about fiscal conservatism. I would say that you're actually, you just want the taxes to go to a place that actually makes sense.
But you could argue that if at the root of things, that's actual, like, as opposed to, you know, spending,
we're just not used to
$1,500 on a wrench.
Yeah.
we spent all this money on, wait a minute. I'm like, why are we still giving the military this much more money? Didn't we pull out of Afghanistan?
Right.
Why are we still spent? Why we've increased military, you know, because I remember one of Donald Trump's talking points was like, oh, the military, they don't even have bullets and this, that, the third. And it's such, they're so downtrodden. It was like military spending increased every year for 8 years under Barack Obama. So you can't play that card for people who actually read.
Yeah, it's because it's a big business.
Well, yeah. I mean, because, you know, and also, once again, this is when you get talking to people about these things, and I'm sorry it's gonna make somebody mad, but honestly, military contractor, that's the biggest welfare state in the United States of America. The money's not even going to defend freedom. It's just going to keep the Raytheons, the Boeings. It's just going to keep these companies in business who maybe need to find something else to do.
Yeah. So again, I would just say I still don't see it as fiscally conservative. And the reason why is because if I feel like everybody is fiscally conservative in that manner, as we don't want our taxpayer. So okay, I almost feel like it's a moot point.
So you shot that down. But what about the fact that I still want to be able to have my AR-15?
That's different, right? Yeah. So I just fundamentally disagree with that. But at the
same, that would just be conservative.
Yeah, I mean,
not necessarily fiscal.
I don't know.
I still want to have my arms too, to be honest with you.
The reason I want to have mine is like if some of these crazy white folks come around talking about I want my country back, I'd be like, yeah, we'll see about that.
I understand. No, but I understand. The unique thing with that is like I understand. Like I understand the argument for that. I understand why people say, nah, I'm not going to give it up. And I understand why it's such a crazy argument to think that guns could potentially go away but again, it's like always the argument, well, the criminals will still have guns, right? And right. Yeah, they will. Yeah.
But also, I also understand that a lot of why certain politicians ride so hard for gun ownership is not because they really care about safety, but it's because they're in the pocket of these corporations, and the idea of a corporation is to year over year make more money. So you have to have these people there.
It's the corporation.
With the AR-15 pins on their lapel.
It's the corporation, and it's the people that support them. So majority of their support are people that want to do that. So of course they're going to align themselves with that ideology and way of thinking, because it appeases their crowd that's going to get them to the position they need to be.
But the thing is, most people across the board, Republican and Democrat, conservative, liberal, don't have a problem with like, okay, criminal background checks and common sense checks for people maybe with mental health. But the thing is, you can't sell. You, once again, there has to be a year-to-year increase in gun sales of guns and ammunition, or else you're not making the shareholders happy, you know? And so like, it's not about actual freedom of, and the right to bear arms in the Second Amendment. This is about, you know, year over year growth.
It's about America being an oligarchy.
Oh, there you go.
Long Beach.
As somebody who is, last two or three years become a retail investor, I look at these things and I was like, okay, well, you know, maybe McDonald's needs to close those restaurants. You know, you start thinking about it in the way of, okay, yeah, those are people out of a job, but like that's gonna cut down on a lot of costs and drive up profits. And that's the way most of the people who are actually lobbying for looser gun laws, they don't really care if these kids get shot. But the thing is, every time it happens, you know what? Every time it happens and they talk about, oh, maybe we should have some more gun control, people run out to the gun stores and buy as many guns as they want.
Yeah.
Every time a Democrat gets elected, you know, they're like, well, we better go to the store, even though there's no chance. Like Barack Obama was never going to start banning guns.
No.
You know, but that's what they tell these people. And that's how you get year over year increase in profits. And it's still all about selling product. And that's the sad thing. It just happens to be the product kills people as opposed to, well, I mean, hamburgers kill people, but slowly.
Glad you said that.
Yeah, but
as someone who had a hamburger today.
Look, man, you can throw as many hamburgers as you want at somebody.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know.
It's like, I don't know. I don't know. To me, I would just ban. I would just ban them. Put me in charge so I can just ban them and just piss everybody off. I would piss everybody off.
I'm not opposed to banning an assault rifle, so to speak, as long as I can still have my handgun.
I just don't. I think my argument with it, the way that I feel about this in general, is I just think it. I think the whole argument for having guns is just out of fear. I think that
it's to be ready. If you stay ready, you ain't gotta get ready.
But it's a different kind of fear. Because first of all, once again, we've been a little racy this episode. It is what it is, you know, but a lot of times, you know, a lot of white people bought guns because they're like, they were urban blight, you know, and they're, you know, they're coming for you, you know, so let's go ahead and make sure that we're all armed and make sure. And
absolutely.
For some people, it's like, oh, we want to be able to shoot varmints on the homestead. You know, me, I look, man, once again.
If I'm a homeowner
who want to make America great again, and I know how they get down, so let me make sure I can get down too.
If I'm a homeowner and I have a family, I just feel like I should have the right to be able to protect my family based off that. Now, who knows what happens? We don't know what situations happen. Everything happens so fast, so you can never predict anything. But the ability to be able to...
I think the statistics are something... don't quote me on this, but I think the statistics are actually higher to think you'll end up shooting yourself than somebody breaking into your house or something.
No, I mean, he's right. That's the thing. That's the thing, because everyone thinks they're a responsible gun owner until a toddler winds up shooting somebody.
I mean, but it's that's on... And what you guys are talking about as it relates to a toddler, like when you use that as an example... Right, like,
but
there are
grown-ups.
Or even grown-ups, but you know,
but like, they were the only country where toddler shootings are a problem.
But don't you think? Well,
that's crazy.
That's crazy.
I mean, go ahead. I was just gonna say, like, when you look at, like, it's one of these things. Like, I feel like we have this internal bias towards guns, like almost everybody. Mm-hmm. And when you check the stats of like other countries and stuff like that, we have the biggest issue. And we're the one country that can't, that they're just like, no, we have to have our guns. You know, it's just
I mean, you saw about Australia where they had a mass shooting. Basically, they're like, yeah, we're not doing this anymore. And they banned assault rifles and haven't had a mass shooting in like 25 or 30 years.
It's like, the problem is the stats, man.
But we had
propaganda, because they'll sell it to you like, you got to be ready in case the war pops off here.
Yes.
And be fearful of these other countries that might do this and that and the other.
China's coming.
If our military is as good as they say they are.
Talk to them.
And our technology is as good as they say it is. There's no way they can make it over here.
Nah.
Well, and also when we say, oh, yeah, we got to.
On paper, that's what it is, ain't it?
That's what it is.
Have the militia to fight the military. Look.
That's
the United States military, they got laser guns they ain't told you about.
They have bases in every other country. How many countries have bases in the United States? How many other countries have bases in the United States? We have one in every country.
They have technology to where they can just look at us with a satellite.
Yeah.
It's just, they can kill us with drones. Like, at the end of the day, our shotgun in our closet that we're here to protect our family against, what was it? Not oppression, but like the, what do you call it when it's like statewide oppression against the government? I don't know. Tyranny.
Yeah, right? the tyranny.
It doesn't matter.
If a tank is running down down the street,
it don't matter.
My AR-15 isn't going to do much.
It's not. Like John with 19 different rifles in his shed.
Yeah,
he can only hold one at a time. So I mean, like it's just the argument when you start to stack it up, it just doesn't make any sense to me, and I don't think that we'll ever get, maybe we will one day, but I don't know because like if kids getting killed in elementary schools can't change people's minds, I don't really know.
After Sandy Hook, when all those kids got shot a week before Christmas, I was like, and we didn't change anything then.
It's the people.
And remember, we had an assault weapons ban that expired during George W. Bush's presidency, and that's when there was the spike after the there were no, you couldn't buy an AR-15 or AK-47 for a long time.
I mean, you still can't buy an Uzi, as far as I know.
Not legally.
Exactly. I mean.
No, I mean, but you know, there's people out here with the Call of Duty guns. They're not thinking about none of this.
Nah, true. I mean, they ain't, but imagine somebody using that on the street some damn where.
All these people out here with switches and bump stocks and all this other stuff, they don't care.
That switch will get you 10, 15.
Yeah, how many?
10 to 15.
10 minimum.
Well, here's what is going to continually happen. Let's say you do ban guns. Are they all going to leave the streets?
Just magically disappear.
Say, no, they're not going to.
How is that
going to
happen?
What's going to happen is they're going to have something, just like Australia did, and they're going to have a buyback of some sorts. Mm-hmm. And then throughout time, people are going to die, mm-hmm. just of old age. Mm-hmm. People are going to find guns hidden in walls. Shouts to some of my relatives.
Hey.
And slowly but surely, those guns are going to be removed from the public.
Or they'll enlist martial law, which everybody is scared of, and they'll just come in your houses and take all the guns.
Maybe.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow.
But again, drones,
if they want you, they don't get you.
That's what I mean. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
Look, in Florida, they just said now on July 1st, you're not going to need a permit to, you know, carry a concealed weapon. I was like, Florida want to be Indiana so bad. But no, I'm not.
Why are we going?
Just kidding.
Wow. I just don't understand why we're going backwards. I guess that's the thing. Like,
but you know, my cousin,
why can't we make it better?
Who is who's an attorney, you know, in Florida, is like, okay, so we're going to let all the people out who had guns on them and didn't have permits.
Yeah, which this should happen.
But you know what? But we're not going to do that. You know what? We're not going
to. True.
We're not going to do that because those people are disproportionately black.
Yeah, we still got people locked up and getting locked up for marijuana. But yeah, that's a lost cause.
All right, man. Well, I always.
So to answer the question,
yes,
is hip hop Republican?
It's not that easy a question to answer.
Clearly, it's not.
Yeah,
y'all job.
I don't think it's conservative though.
I always learn when we
not as a whole. Really. I don't think so as a whole. I mean,
I think what happens is eventually. When I think what people confuse is just the fact that they equate like the accumulation of money with Republicans,
right. mm-hmm.
and Democrats do that too. To me, it's capitalism.
There
and
it
if
is.
You're going to say, is hip hop capitalist? I would say yes.
Absolutely.
100%. Oh, yes.
Republican, 100%. No.
But I always say there's a difference between someone who says, hey, I can build a better mousetrap. It only costs me $250 to make and I'm going to sell it for $10, as opposed to somebody who's like, I know I got the patent for insulin for free, but I'm going to charge $500 for insulin.
Yeah. But I would say, to argue that point real quick, I would say capitalism has one inherent thing that this lives within it. Mm-hmm. And that's the number one thing that capitalism wants to do is make money at the behest of labor.
Mm.
So
the
goal to make more money is to exploit labor. So if I'm going to make a bunch of mousetraps, sure, you can be equitable as a mousetrap owner. But at the end of the day, you're still going to continually exploit your labor for as much as you can to make as much money as you can.
Well, yeah, because I don't want to have to pay more to make my mousetrap than I'm going to sell it for.
And that is an inherently human trait, and you can't get away from that, which is why capitalism is inherently going to continue to get worse
because
as
I
it goes
could,
throughout time.
Because what I could do is instead of... I could pay but this is where people say, oh yeah, this is so bad. But then I say, okay, well, you know, I can pay my people more. Mousetrap's going to cost $25 more. It's going to cost $25 now. Just like when people say, you know, we should have iPhones made in America. Do you want a $2,000 iPhone?
Yeah.
Sure. Cool.
And then people, exactly.
Cool. Sure.
Kind of like the grocery store.
Yeah. I mean, no,
all this stuff is grown over here, but
you know what's going to happen?
Should they charge?
It will increase. It will increase. It will make businesses have to be smarter, and it will weed out the businesses that aren't as good.
Mm.
It's the free market. We love the free market, right?
I'll make a mousetrap that can kill two mice at the same time.
Hey, you know.
They got those.
It actually inspires innovation.
Big ass rat trap.
Well, I mean, that's what happened.
That'll kill two.
I mean, that's what happened. In America, you know, when we're making VCRs. And then all of a sudden, you know, a Japanese company was like, let's put a clock on it.
Yeah. Or you just get the bucket and peanut butter and you can kill as many mice as you want.
I'm not sure.
Will
a
bucket of peanut butter kill a rat?
The bucket of peanut butter doesn't kill it, but it traps it.
It'll trap a rat.
What you do with it after it's trapped is on you.
Yeah.
All right, man. Red August, can we, he says no. Shout out our partners real quick, man.
Thanks to our partners. Dr. Coleman of Coleman Dental is our go-to dentist. He's a longtime Indianapolis arts and music supporter located right in Broad Ripple. Printfinity is a screen printing shop based in Indianapolis, owned and operated by our own DJ J Diff. Our good friends at Indy CD and Vinyl operate one of the best record stores in North America. Shop new and used in their site or visit them in person. And the best way to support the new old heads is to visit our Patreon and become a member for as little as $3 a month. All details on newoldheads.com.
Let's talk AI.
Alan Iverson.
You didn't want to do that. Tell me you didn't want to do that.
No, it's good. We can talk about it.
All right. So,
what AI did?
Apparently, Guru was on. I see what you did there. So, apparently, Guru was on an Instagram post that had one of those deep fake Jay-Z joints where they took his voice and, you know, the ones that we've been seeing popped up that are really scary as to how good they are. He had a couple interesting comments, so I want to read what he said as it relates to it, and then kind of see what you guys think. So Guru says, so what do we do? On one hand, I'm well aware that you can't stop technology. Once the genie is out of the box, you can't put him back in. On the other hand, we have to protect the rights of the artists, not only artists, but everyone in society. People should not be able to take your name, image, and likeness without permission. We have to add the voice to this law. We have to learn from our past mistakes. You will be a fool to chase every person that is going to do this. We learned that lesson with Napster. Only way I can see to deal with it is to change the law. So Guru's saying they should add the voice.
Did you hear it?
I saw it because it's on the link. They actually have an example of it. Dealing, despite y'all dealing, we are the savages, the natives who fight the appeal of all your lavishes, the brave who find what is real and call it as. I mean, it's ridiculous how good this stuff is at this point.
Well, no, because
and I understand what Guru's saying. I don't think he's saying it's just because Hov is this guy. Like I think
no, this
what he
scary.
Said is right. This is
scary.
This is very scary
because remember when we did the. It was a few months ago. It was the Drake one. We wanted to see why Drake never did a song with Fonte. It was still very stilted.
Yep.
And kind of like, okay.
It's only going to get better.
And the leap between this.
Yes.
And what we heard from Drake, it was like, oh, by the end of the year, they're going to have everybody's voice ready to go, whether they're there or not. You know, so this was, like I said, well, you know, the whole Drake thing, that was the beta test, the 1.0, the whatever.
Right.
When I heard what might as well have been Jay-Z in this, I was like, oh, this is going to get really out of hand.
Yes.
This is going to get really out of hand.
It's crazy, man.
They got Kendrick one. They got all you got to do
I heard a Kanye one that sounded pretty decent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard like three. I think there were two or three different versions.
The one I heard from Kanye, I never found it again, but it sounded like the best song Kanye West has made in the past probably 10 years, and it was AI. That's messy.
Matter of fact, we talked about that.
Yeah, that's messy.
Like, the song made me be like, okay, that's Kanye. Like, that's Kanye right there. Whoever put it together was perfect.
What can you really do, though?
The question.
It's AI, so what would you even call them?
Interpretations. So there was an
engine or whatever the hell it is.
It's like a deep fake almost.
Yeah,
right?
It's constantly learning.
That's
so it's
what's
going
to
constantly get better. Like he mentioned a month or so ago, we heard one. We don't know if it was the same one that was used, but I mean, whatever they're using is constantly learning. So it's picking up all of this stuff and putting it back out there, and it's learning these artists. I mean, they have access to every song these artists have ever made that's been released. So it's easy to mimic that from just artificially going through and listening to somebody's whole catalog within a snap of a second.
Long, you said deepfake. That's actually one of the first things that's on the article.
No, that's what it is.
A posted snippet of a song featuring a deepfake of Jay-Z's voice.
There was a thing that happened, and I don't even know if this can get monetized if I say it, so I'm going to try to censor it. But
okay.
There was a thing that happened with a lot of like online personalities and Twitter famous people and just famous people. There was a deep fake site where people were making, you can go on there and you can like change. They were like, it's a whole thing where people are changing people's faces to be like real people.
Wow.
And there was a lot of ethical discussion on this happening. This is like 2 months ago.
Mm. Bruh.
And it's just wild because like, and these people, the ladies, the women were just like, this is not cool. You know, you can't just put my face on, like, it's not cool, which, right, you know, rightfully so. So I feel like this is the world that we're jumping into, and I don't know if we can keep up with how fast technology is changing.
No, that's a wrap.
So
especially when it's learning and teaching itself now.
And Microsoft is investing into it.
That's what Guru said. He said, you'd be a fool to chase all these people.
Yeah, so it has to be, there has to be some sort of law around it. There has to be, I don't know if it's a copyright law or if it's something, but there has to be something to protect the likenesses of people and people to profit off of it. It may be a different thing to give away for free. I don't know.
Because I was going to, the reason, I'm glad you said that, because I was going to, that's what I was going to mention is, I could see projects. I even saw the one of the first ones I saw was Eminem. His voice was being used for something, and it was at a show.
A DJ was using his voice.
He was playing it, and the crowd was going crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Like, what are the ramifications?
But think about this. What about people that have passed away?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, next thing
I mean,
we know,
they're already doing that.
I know, but we could.
Like, on the metaverse, they have a Biggie concert.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking of.
With him there.
I'm cool.
Rapping all this stuff.
What if you you know, in 20 years you go to college to get a lecture from Hitler about you know, how he
did what he did.
You know, became a national socialist.
You know what's
and
crazy. That's not with technology. That's not far that far fetched.
That's what I mean. Like but at the same time, it brings up the ethical. You know, you can bring all right. Well, here's AI Jay-Z who's going to tell you how he got famous
already
in
have,
business.
Now that you say that, they have something about the Holocaust where they use these artificial people that are telling real stories about real people at some exhibit or something. I've seen it. May have been
Museum.
On 2020.
Oh, okay.
But now, basically, for music, is everyone's freestyle going to have to come with a certificate of authentication?
Who knows? Hey. That's the thing. I don't know.
They come up with a fake authentication certificate.
I don't know what this
looks like. That's the next wave, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I don't know what this looks like, but it does probably need to be a thing. It does have to be. We have to protect. The creators have to be protected to some degree.
Well, once
that's
again,
basically what Guru's saying.
If, and I think we talked about this a little when we first talked about Drake, is going to push into a space to where actually seeing somebody live means more to people now, because if fake Drake could be everywhere,
true,
you know, the real Drake could only be right here. You got to pay this much to see him.
Maybe that's the offset of it, you know, because right now, I mean, for the longest time as an independent hip-hop artist or independent artist, the way that you made money wasn't necessarily selling music. It was going on tour and selling your merch. Stuff.
Yep.
So maybe it's just even more.
What if fake Drake is dropping better music than real Drake?
Yeah. And so even on that site that I was talking about, that's how they got around it. They would put like fake person or not real this person. Mm-hmm. And when you did that, then it was not misleading, but it was still the same thing.
Nice. That's if you put it in a search engine, though. Even though you have the fake in it, it's still going to find it.
Yeah. It's wild.
Because even if you put the fake this celebrity's name, fake, you're still going to be seeing the image of that particular celebrity.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or their likeness.
Yeah. Media is in such a weird space right now. Such an interesting space.
Yep. And it's like they toy with the regular everyday person with this, with these apps and these layers that you can scroll through and do. You know what I'm saying? On yourself. So you can put yourself on something. I remember they how they can put you in like somebody in a movie. Mm. Have you, you're Arnold Schwarzenegger now in all his little movie clips because they've masked your face. It's like they give it to you just to see how you're going to act with it. And then they take it to the next level.
You just talked about how media is in a strange place. I saw Joe Budden had an interesting answer to a question when somebody asked him about rap media personalities today and if they're bigger than the rappers themselves. And he said, well, yeah, they are. And he said he learned that by working with academics and realizing how many young people.
I'm tired of Joe Budden. Why do we have to keep talking about his ass?
I forgot. You was mad at I forgot about that. You really went off on Joe Budden that episode.
That was mild.
I'm just saying, man. But
what did he say, though? Like, media?
So he said, so I learned that when I started working here, because when I was coming in every morning working with Act, and all the young people in my life were familiar with him, and I wasn't. He said, so it was like, oh, expletive, this guy's got some following somewhere. He's like, so let me get hip. And then he talks about how rappers jump onto media personalities. He said, and then rappers will often will, let me find a nice way to say this. The rappers see the media people as an opportunity sometimes, and and they will attach themselves and attempt to attach themselves to that person for rollout purposes. So he's basically saying the media now, Charlemagne, academics, who will be another one?
Vlad, maybe? I don't know.
Vlad, I wouldn't say Math just yet, but I love his product. But they're saying,
I put him in there.
Matt, you think Math's in there? Yeah. Okay, I'm not mad at that.
Nori,
Drink Champs, like they have the power now as it relates in the culture. $1 million worth of game, Wallow and Gilly. He's basically saying they have the power now in hip hop culture. Now,
they're in a good position. Position because they talk every day.
But would you agree they have more leverage?
I wouldn't necessarily say that because, there's way more of them. Like, okay. we talked about Arsenio Hall in the past.
Right.
About how that was the only outlet that hip hop people had to go to in order to be seen.
Perform.
As far as media interview.
Yeah.
Right. Sound the interview. Yep.
Whereas we have a lot more opportunities, like even without talking about them, mm-hmm. there's people that may not be as famous as them, but these entertainers are still going to sit down with them and talk to them as well. It's more exposure for that entertainer, but I wouldn't consider them being more important.
Let me play devil's advocate. Now, you said that the artists still go to the platforms that are maybe on a lesser tier, right?
Right.
But my argument would be the lesser tier shows don't yield the same responses as the ones that they're talking about here. Like that the coverage is not going to be, the reach is not going to be.
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate back at you.
Okay,
because
let's go.
That coverage is going to rise because this said artist is on it. So we're going to watch this show. We don't even know who these people are, but this part, Kendrick is on this show. So we're going to watch this show because Kendrick is on it.
All right.
Versus I would have never watched this show if he wasn't on there.
Okay, let me come back.
That's why podcasts have guests.
Right.
We are going against the grain.
Yeah.
But let me come back and say this. So who does that benefit? Does that benefit the show or does that benefit Kendrick?
It more so benefits the show.
Okay.
Essentially in the long run, because now we have more people, we have more eyes on us for now.
I think that's dope for the show, but as it relates to the artist.
I think it's both.
You think it's both? Okay, fair enough. But I'm saying even with Kendrick, if he were to come sit down with us, I mean, that's going to take us through the moon.
It depends. It depends what we do. How do we conduct the interview? How do we address him being here? Do people learn more about him that they didn't know?
Mm-hmm. That's fair. That's fair.
Then people learn more about Kendrick. Maybe more people like Kendrick. Right. Because sure, he's bringing. Don't look at it necessarily from an audience standpoint of mm-hmm. like he's bringing necessarily.
X amount of eyes or whatever.
Yeah, like everybody knows Kendrick. So
right.
If he comes on our show, people are tuning in, not necessarily for us. They're tuning in for what Kendrick's going to be talking about.
Agreed.
And if they like what we're doing, then they'll come back and maybe, oh, okay, I like what they did with them. Then they'll continue it. Mm-hmm. But they might learn something more about Kendrick that make them like him more. So it's beneficial to the artist from that aspect.
I think it's mutual. I like the argument about... Or the point about the approach.
Right.
That's dope. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Or like in the case of Michael B. Jordan and the young lady that was interviewing him.
Right.
Let's say that he didn't pop his ish back at her.
Okay.
She wouldn't get as much notoriety.
That's a fact.
More people wouldn't know she is based off how he did it. But
that's a fact.
Even if he hadn't have done that, he's still doing this interview with this young lady and it's going to put eyes on her. Everybody's scratching each other's back. I'm not going to sit there and say that these media personalities are more important than the actual artists themselves. I don't believe that. Mm-hmm. If you're at a certain tier, like you're not Jimmy Fallon or, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? You're not going to sit down on a night show, one of them type people. That's different.
It's a symbiotic relationship, I think.
Yeah.
I think it both feeds both.
Yeah.
I think Joe he's been so successful post Pump It Up Joe that maybe some of that is coming into his response because he's done so well to Joe Budden Network and, you know, catapulting from Everyday Struggle.
He found his lane.
He's definitely found his lane.
Better at podding than he was at rapping. And he's a very good rapper.
He's a very good rapper.
No,
I'm glad you said that.
It goes back to something I said a few shows ago. There are sometimes I'd rather listen to people talk about rap than actually listen to rap, you know, but also I'm 45 years old. Like I, you know,
right. I've heard a lot of rap.
You know,
a lot of rap.
And even when I do go back and listen to, you know, rap or hip hop music when I'm, I wind up listening to stuff I've been listening to for the past 20, 25 years. Yeah. You know, it really takes something for me to be like, okay, I'm going to listen to this new album because I have to listen to so much music just in my, you know, in what I do for a living.
Right.
And I, once you said, I think it was very important to point out the symbiotic nature of it, because part of what makes everyday struggle what it did, and then make, you know, of course, I mean, Joe Budden already had his podcast before that, I think, you know.
Did it?
It was around the same time.
It didn't proceed every day. It don't matter.
But,
don't
you know, regardless, but like, you know, when he sat down and like, he kind of, I don't want to say chided Lil Yachty.
And, I saw that episode.
You know, and I just remember like, that's what kind of got it on my radar of what it was. And then, you know, even when you talk about Rap Radar, you know, the fact that like, they'll get us, they'll sit down and talk to Jay-Z when nobody else gets a an interview with Jay-Z, you know.
That's
and
true,
then
yeah.
There's this whole thing to where these, even if it's something that's not on your particular platform,
right,
you like what we're doing right now, we're talking about another, you know, what something was said on another platform. That happens all the time,
right,
within, you know, the
space,
the blog, you know, not the blogosphere, but the, you know, podcast world, whatever.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of times it's a reaction to things that happen that might have been, you know, newsworthy that happened on somebody else's platform.
We literally just collaborated with the Pushkin podcast.
Yeah,
with Charlamagne, that just dropped on our podcast feed literally today. So,
right.
I mean,
right.
But just think about the times we've talked about things that happened on the Breakfast Club.
Yeah. True.
You know, maybe an interview or like, you know, when we talked, we actually did a live reaction to, you know, when Noriega came in to talk about the conversation he had with Kanye.
Right.
You know, so these wind up being newsworthy things because of the artists that are on said podcast. You know, I mean, I don't think that, you know, if Act didn't have, you know, he didn't sit down and talk with, I mean, the Everyday Struggle. And then, you know, he got a lot of shine for, unfortunately, you know,
Warren Chirac,
you know, Warren Chirac, and then sitting down with the Snitch. So
true.
You know, that's where a lot of this comes from. Like I said, I think that's what makes, I mean, maybe we would grow faster if we sat down and really tried to get these interviews with people.
I mean, if you whore yourself out,
there it is.
But we don't want to. I don't want to talk to nobody. It would have to be something like, if I'm going to talk to somebody, I'd rather be like, if one of you guys is out or if I'm out and they have somebody has a fresh perspective on something we're going to talk about that week. I don't want to sit and interview no rappers. I really, you know, we have something for that. If we want to sit down and talk to a rapper or a DJ and interview them, I don't want to take the hour that we have and have 45 minutes of it taken up asking, so what was your motivation for when you wanted to start rap? I don't care. I mean, I don't want to say I don't care. In this moment of this platform and what we do, I don't want to talk to nobody other than the people I'm talking to right now.
Not my passion.
Yeah.
No,
I've interviewed people and I dig it. But I, you know, as far as what we do here, I think if we wound up interviewing people, it would be such a departure from what we've been doing for the past 333 episodes
for sure.
That it would turn people off. If we would get some people who would, they would come for that interview, say if we, you know, pie in the sky, we did get Kendrick. And then when we didn't have Kendrick, they wouldn't come back.
Yeah.
Agreed.
I mean, I filed victim to that myself because there's a lot of podcasts that I might want to hear what such and such is saying. I'll only watch it because this person is on there and never watch it again.
Yeah.
So that's how I do Drink Champs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's facts. You know, I watched Chuck D on Drink Jams, but like, there are some people I'm like, I don't have 2 hours for this.
Mm-mm. Yeah. No, that's what it is. And that's always kind of been my thing. I feel like they're separate things. And I do have some ideas, do spinoffs. But
as it relates to the main.
But it doesn't affect this.
Right.
You know
right,
I mean,
right,
it's
right,
like, yes, it would be cool to, you know, to have something where somebody reached out or we wanted to reach out and we could do something regularly, but it can't interfere with what we do here, in my opinion. So
I think the shows definitely have a huge reach. But to Terry, when Terry starts talking about, I don't know if it's 100%, they're just, you know, that much bigger. I see where you're coming from. I do see the reach that an Academics has. It's astronomical. Dude got like 5 million followers.
But part of
it kind of depends on who you're talking to and what demographic.
That's a good point.
Like he even brought up the younger people knew who he was talking about.
That's what he said
when he brought up academics, and he's like, who is this dude?
Yep.
But if you're talking about another demographic that could care less about academics,
right,
which his core audience could care less, probably care less about academics. You know what I'm saying?
True.
What's his name? Joe Budden's him by himself.
Right.
Versus him when he's with Ack. I mean, it gets him more eyes and more listeners possibly, but his product by himself is better than the one he had with him and academics, in my personal opinion.
But also, when you talk about like the influence, sometimes it comes down to the fact that, look, academics, he gets on and he might stream and get drunk and talk crazy for 4 hours straight.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think I listen to 4 hours of rap music an entire week. You know, and they're just, you know, and there are a lot of people who like say, oh, I love hip hop. And they listen to more hip hop related content than they actually do the music.
Yeah.
And that's where we are right now. But once again, that goes into people being interviewed, the controversies, you know, people having beef. I mean, like, is people just aren't really even as interested in the music as they used to. And that's part of the problem. And that's why people talking about they would rather get the cliff notes from a podcast than actually sit and actually have their own critical thought about a particular piece of art.
Yeah, a lot of this music ain't musicking.
It ain't what?
Yeah. It ain't musicking. It's not keeping my attention.
You know, I mean, I think, I'm not sure if I said it on the show or I was just talking, you know, crazy after, you know, a little bit too much tequila after Take That Tuesday. But I said that, you know, even when it relates to the DJ game, mm-hmm. like, you like music. I can tell by the way you DJ.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, but there are a lot of people who, quote unquote, are DJs. They just like attention.
Yeah.
They don't like, you can tell from their sets. You know, they play the songs they hear on the radio.
Yeah.
They
go, right.
They can maybe DJ for about 45 minutes and then, like, they start going into some corny stuff or they don't really know what they're doing mm-hmm. because they don't actually like music. They just like the attention that comes from being a DJ.
Yeah.
I mean, but we're in a, we've talked about this, we're in an attention-based society. Everything is based around likes, clicks. We just talked about the check verification. All right. That goes towards attention. You know what I'm saying? Likes.
I don't know, but this topic is not keeping my attention right now.
I saw you yawn 3 or 4 times, so counted your yawns. But nah, man, it's, you know, it is what it is, I guess, as it relates to media versus the artist. But I think they both need each other at the end of the day. So,
well, not us. We don't need these artists.
We might one day.
We need them to do stupid stuff. That's what I'm saying.
Like, you know, we talking about artists. You know what I mean? So we need them to, they don't have to be ignorant, I guess, but they have to do a little something.
It would help.
Yeah. So
it's like if you're a political commentator and Donald Trump is in the news, it's like, ooh, all right, it's going to be a good content week. It's like, all right.
Yeah, they said they trying to get old boy, well, y'all know.
Just stupid. Talk about that. Just stupid.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just stupid. That's all you got. Just stupid.
I don't even care.
Yeah.
At all.
Right.
Let him go to jail. Let him. I don't know. It's not going to happen.
But
let him go to jail.
Sound like a hater right now.
Let him go to jail. Let him not go to jail. I just don't care.
Doesn't matter.
Either way, it just doesn't matter. Either way, you straight.
I just don't care.
You know, there are people out here that are mad because he's not going through the, I guess,
the purple
rigorous booking Man. Process that normally
and then
goes
there
on.
Are people that are like, they're like conservatives that are like, oh, stormtroopers, it's like, oh, you're just sheep, what do we look like,
the sheeple,
it's like, what do we look like because I don't know, like, we're prosecuting the president,
right.
And it's just like, well, is he guilty? What do you care more about, Mr. Party of Law and Order?
I'm
do
tired.
You
care?
It's like, it's like,
I'm tired of, man, you know what I can't stand? When somebody starts having a conversation mm-hmm. and they always want to bring up, and this liberal, this, oh my God, I tune out immediately.
Yeah.
Anytime somebody goes to Colin, somebody that doesn't agree with them, liberal.
Yeah, it's because they're conservatives. But I don't like liberals. I don't like.
but I don't like
liberals either, though.
But then again, I'm like, this is the thing.
This is like ear poison.
But
to
then
me.
Again, I can say this. I can look at all the facts of the case. I was like, yeah, someone was trying to extort Donald Trump, and that was wrong.
Yeah.
And that person's in prison.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, you don't.
People are like, but you're not doing anything about the pedophile island.
Pedophile.
What are you doing about the pedophile
what
island
about
people?
The Pizzagate.
Are you going to go get Bill Clinton and indict
whatever
him?
Happened to the Exxon
you
people?
Go do
what was
Exxon.
That?
Exxon.
Not Exxon. What,
Enron?
Not Enron.
Exxon, they're spilling all the oil.
What was that conspiracy theory group that It said that QAnon, yeah, those people.
They're still out here.
Are they?
The QAnoners.
The one that kept telling you, they would keep telling you dates. Just wait to this date. It's going to happen.
The day never happened.
The people said John F. Kennedy was going to come back and John F. Kennedy Jr. He was going to come back and be Donald Trump's running mate.
They have some like documentaries on following QAnon people around. I've seen one of then those. Like it didn't happen. They're just like, they just let us die over there. I don't know.
Yeah.
That is an awesome voice that you're doing.
That's the stepdad voice. That's what that is. That's stepdad. There it is.
That's a stepdad.
That's the Tucker Jobs.
I've listened to the Larry June Alchemist Project. Good. And I'm gonna have to go out on a limb say that it is not as giant blaze as y'all are making that joint out to be.
Nope. He's just the artist to like right now.
Well, I like Larry June, and I liked him.
I'm just saying.
I liked him before everybody was supposed to start liking him. But to me, the way people was screaming on this album, like it was just, Alchemist is in the top ranks of being the best producer. He has to be in the conversation. He kind of has always been in that conversation.
He's always been in that conversation. Right.
But this album doesn't do it for me. I'm not saying it doesn't do it for me as far as I don't like it.
Right.
But it's just not that one is like, this is amazing work from both of them.
No, I get it. Yeah.
I've heard better Larry June stuff by himself, and I've heard better Alchemist on somebody else's stuff too.
I describe it as good lazy music is what it is.
I wouldn't say it's lazy.
I think it's lazy. It's good lazy music.
Do you mean lazy from the perspective of like that's just his sound, or that they didn't put
Larry June's vibe typically is laid back,
right?
Yeah.
But the projects,
but it's called lazy. Lazy is different than laid back.
When I say lazy, I'm talking about from a standpoint of alone on what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
From the approach, from a production standpoint, how everything meshes, it just seems lazy to me.
Yeah.
Because all of his projects are not lazy.
Right.
Like, I've heard enough Larry June to know that he got a good vibe. This one was like,
just not.
I mean, it's
there.
Cool. It just wasn't there. Like, it wasn't there. Especially for what Terry, like, I've seen the same thing you saw. People really jumping out the window. I'm like, maybe I heard something different.
Sometimes people, that was me last week, right? But sometimes people Larry June is that artist right now for a lot of people. That,
I agree with you on the wave part.
It's
100%.
Just like Larry June is the people that everybody wants to like him right now. So I can see people jumping out the window for that.
I talked to a friend of mine the other day that was saying she was excited about going to his concert when he come to whatever city. Mm. And so,
I mean, I wouldn't mind checking him out.
I wouldn't either. But this project here, I'm not blown away at all.
I'm just not there yet, maybe.
Yeah, maybe I need to run it again, but usually on stuff this heat, I don't have to say maybe I need to run it again. Yeah.
I listened to two Talib Kweli songs over the week.
Look at that.
New ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, what'd you think, buddy?
One where his daughter's rapping and the other one where his son's rapping.
Really?
How'd they sound? Was it John Blaze?
It was cool. Well, it wasn't horrible. I think his son actually has a pretty cool rap voice.
Okay. How are these kids?
Y'all about to say, yeah.
They're in their 20s at least. Yeah.
They're grown.
They look grown, yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking little kids.
Yeah, right.
No, 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 no.
No, I don't want to hear
that. They grown. Okay.
So it was from the Madlib project. They were okay.
Shout out to them putting his kids in position.
Yeah. No, Madlib dropped something new?
With Talib?
Did he? Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if it's out.
But what's name dropped a new album? DJ Drama.
With
compilation.
Who? Oh.
Yeah.
Quick dropped a single too.
First song on there is hard too. Tyler the Creator.
Tyler put out like three joints.
He put out
because he put out three separate
albums.
Yeah.
He put out the album again with Lucy's on it from the recording sessions.
Okay. I was like, does he got a new project coming?
He dropped a whole bunch of like live videos of him rapping them too.
Yeah.
I'm a Tyler fan.
Me too.
That kid is extremely talented. He's dope.
Wolf came out 10 years ago.
That's crazy.
10 years ago.
Yep.
Well,
all right.
You see, Macklemore says that he and Eminem are guests in hip hop.
Yes, he has a couple good quotes about that. I thought Jay Moore. I think you'll appreciate this. Don't give me the side eye, bro.
Go ahead.
Shouts to Macklemore.
Yeah, this is what he said. Right, he said
his album is awful.
Is it?
I haven't heard it.
Whose album?
I listened to it on the strength of
Macklemore
of the premiere track. I like the track, but
Is it poppy?
Yeah, it's just not it. No, it's just bad.
Is it just bad music?
That's unfortunate.
You know, the music is bad. The rapping is corny, and it's just like
Is there any more Primo production?
No, that's it.
That's it? Okay. Yeah.
Primo so, can only save you so much.
So initially he just was like, let me use Primo to bring him in. Is that what we're saying?
I guess. I don't even know. Like, really, I mean, when I heard, I just thought, okay, this is cool. But even that, I wasn't listen. Like, oh, I'm going to run this track over and over.
Well, now I'm going to listen, but I mean, I trust you.
And maybe, you know, sometimes things strike me in the wrong way, but I just remember listening. I was like, this is awful. Sorry.
So he says, this is in response to him asking about if they're guests.
And oftentimes people say, you're a guest. Mm-hmm. How do you take that statement?
I think it's true. It is true. And I agree. If you look at the origin of where hip hop came from and what was happening in New York City and what was happening in the Bronx and the way that black people and people of color have been treated historically in America from the jump, this was a music that was birthed out of oppression. Hip hop is inclusive. So there's always been an open door to a certain extent. In certain moments, it was a little bit harder to push it open back in the 90s. But I'm a guest.
Yeah.
M's a guest. Doesn't matter how good we get. Doesn't matter how great Eminem is. We're guests in the culture, 100%.
I'm not mad.
But he also said that's always been known and it's been said before, too, though.
You think he just don't want Lord Jamar on his ass.
Yeah.
He also said that he still belongs there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, he does.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, I agreed with his statement.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, because, you know, if you want to, there are people who are from the Bronx and are from that era, be like, look, if you're from Brooklyn, you're a guest in the house of hip hop. You know what I'm saying?
True.
You know, it depends.
Don't show Melly Mel this. He might.
They'll tell you that.
He start talking bad about Jay-Z again.
I mean, we all seen the Source Awards where when Outkast won and they kind of like Outkast, like the air was let out of the room.
Yeah.
Because it's essentially like they don't like people not being from New York.
Yep.
Everybody who's not top from New York person. Had to prove themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
St. Louis, L.A., Memphis, Atlanta. Everybody had to prove themselves to New York to a certain extent.
I mean, Joe Budden, speaking out, he said it. He's like, yeah, they're the greatest group ever. I said, well, good job, Joe. You should like Joe for that one.
Why? Because he... To the same thing I've been saying since forever.
I don't even understand why it's even. I saw some comment. I mean, at this point,
why are we still having this discussion?
Right. No. At this, I don't no, even at this point, more. 2023. Why does anybody care about the comment section?
Who?
The comment section. I just like. I'm sitting here like, yeah, but the comments. Who cares?
Oh,
I'm
okay,
like, I'm like talking to myself.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah.
It's like somebody's like, well, there's a group called Wu-Tang. It's like. There is. Yep, there is.
Yeah. Shout out to Hulu. Yeah. I don't know if y'all been on it, but.
I don't know. Yeah.
Me personally, I love the comment section. I love the negativity. I thrive off of it.
Wow.
Power pellets.
Mm-hmm. Is that what that is, Tim?
Yeah, it's power pellets.
Yeah.
Because, you know, but I'm the dude in the hockey jersey. You're a snitch. You are a white person.
I'm just white.
Got here
talking. Didn't you get a new white comment? We get a new white comment.
He gets someone.
I'm talking about
every...
he read one today that I hadn't. That I had.
There was one. There was heard. One last week that Jay said it was actually it was a couple days ago. It was super funny. It was like, he's like, what was the quality?
It was about to live quality. Is like, I don't feel right about a white man saying it, but he's kind of right.
And I replied, and I was just like, I'm just here to help you acknowledge your prejudice.
There it is. Hey. At least he said you was right. He had to go all the way around.
Yeah. Honestly thought that wasn't going to register very well. And I was actually kind of surprised of how many people actually agreed with it.
I saw some people even on the IG post. It was like, after eardrum, it's a wrap. Like, I saw somebody post that. Like, after eardrum, it's over.
It's so, kind of facts, though.
I mean, I mean,
and the thing is, because I'm a fan, I've given a lot of what To Live Quality is done.
I like, love that Lone said.
I still would run it just to make sure I wasn't tripping.
Lone's comment about his introduction and everything. I'm like, I'm glad you said that. So it's not about.
They don't care. Just like
hating or whatever.
I didn't hate on Tupac at all. But somehow I became a snitch.
Yes. Yeah. All right, man. So let's go ahead and
start promoting fake Jay-Z verses.
All right,
the
man.
The AI won't be ungrateful.
Sure won't.
AI is about to be. I can't wait to see what the next wave will be.
Feelings?
No, the zero.
When did iRobot, when they turn red and start tripping?
Oh no! When the robot war.
This ain't right. Yeah, I like that movie.
Yeah, I do.
That's
too.
A good movie. Yeah,
I like movies about humans dying though. So.
Oh.
Look, I do. I'm serious. Look, like apocalyptic type movies.
That just sounded bad.
I know it
think
does.
That even bothered Red August, man. Like,
look, movies where like humanity is like gone and there's like two people.
Like 2012. Yeah.
Cloverfield.
Cloverfield's kind of cool, but like
a lot of people died in Cloverfield.
What's that one where
the dog and Will Smith?
What's the one where
I'm Legend? A lot of people died. Legend.
That's a good movie. There's supposed to be a part two of that.
I know.
Michael B. Jordan's supposed to be
love that movie.
One of the main characters.
That sounds like a bad idea.
Don't do that.
I don't know. I think it might be a good idea.
Is Will with him?
There was an alternate ending. If you had,
I saw that.
Yeah, there was an alternate ending.
Oh, so Will Red August was shaking his head. So Will will be with him in this one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm with that.
There's a movie, like a space movie, where there's this guy and he wakes up early and they're flying to some planet or something. What's the girl in Hunger Games is in it? I think. Yeah, the girl in Hunger Games. Yeah. I forget her name. And there's another big actor. It's like Interstellar. No, not Interstellar. That's a good movie too. Because everybody's dying. But I'm kidding. Nah, but it's like he wakes up early and then he's by himself for a year and he wakes her up and they're like the only two people alive for like until they die. Hmm. And then eventually, like later on, it's
I've known you a long time. I didn't know this about you. We need to stop teaching robots how to do stuff.
It's too late.
They teach them how to climb stairs and do kung fu.
Too late.
And no,
you seen Black Mirror, didn't you?
Part of it.
I just recently rewatched the one where the two guys were like gay in the video game.
Oh man,
that's a great episode.
All right, y'all.
That's not my favorite. But,
make sure you go to NewOrleans.com, like and subscribe if you see it. We appreciate the support, and we'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Beware the robot war,
man.
The gay bots.